There was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls a string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings. As the night folds in on a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
Welcome back to Resurrect the Republic. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer. Thank you for staying with us here. This is hour number two on Resurrect the Republic, not Resurrect the Democracy, Resurrect the Republic. And I want to thank Lori for joining us. Lori had to take off. Nice having John Lamb tonight with Lori. We got Chris in Vegas. We got Tom in Utah as well. But before we get to Tom, I just wanted, because I know we're going to take off on some conversation there, I promised everybody I'd read them another category of famous Freemasons. And, of course, we started out the first night with some founding fathers and, you know, everybody from, you know, George Washington to Charles Schumer is a Freemason. And it just permeates everywhere. And last night we did some actors. He's everybody from Clark Gable to Buffalo Bill, from Walt Disney to, you know, Abbott and Costello, all members of the same club called the Freemasons, which they never talk about publicly. It's always just some big secret, and these are big names. So tonight I'm going to do musicians. Louis Armstrong was a Freemason. Count Basie. Duke Ellington. Nat King Cole. George Cohen. Irving Berlin, major composers here, W.S. Gilbert and Arthur Sullivan, that's Gilbert and Sullivan. They did, I mean, these are like all the musicals were written by these, Irving Berlin, Gilbert and Sullivan. Oh, Mozart, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, Franz Liszt, Johann Christian Bach, John Philip Sousa, who wrote The Stars and Stripes Forever. What do you think about that? Anyway, let's get to Tom in Utah. Tom, how are you tonight?
Were they Freemasons prior to the discovery of their talent or after?
That's a really good question. I'm going to guess by what I've observed, at least in the connection between the Freemasons and the courts, the attorneys, the bar attorneys, and the judges, they got to be the Freemason first. Oh, wait a minute. I'm going to guess. You better be that Freemason first. I'm trying to think of the bio that we read on a judge. It was Bartlett. It said he was a Freemason who was admitted to the bar in 1978. He was made a Freemason in 1975. That was it. And so, yeah, it's the Freemason comes first, and once they have vetted you, then you're allowed to take that next step, and they'll promote you, and they'll have people write songs for you that you think these people wrote. A lot of the stuff was written by guys like you and me, and it got either purchased or stolen through the copyright offices. You know, that's just as far as the musicians are concerned. But I would say, yeah, that's the long answer. Freemason first, famous and wealthy second.
Well, what I'm alluding to is the fact that they might be drafted into the Freemasonry when they're discovered that to have a talent, and of course, then after that, they're promoted.
Highly possible. Highly possible. They admitted after it looked like. I think it's a combination of both. I think they key in on people who have talent and who are up and coming, and it's kind of a requirement to get to that next level, so to speak. So I think it's your take on it in the early days, and then my take on it in the later days. You know what I mean? But I think, yeah, they see the rising stars, and they're made an offer they can't refuse. And if they refuse, they're just either not, you know. Yeah. So I think we're both kind of right there on that.
Being interviewed on the radio for a minute.
Oh, really?
Sorry, there.
You got another interview? Are you two timing me there, buddy? Are you doing another interview?
No, I was telling a friend here that I was being interviewed by you.
Okay.
And anyway, the reason I called is in 2001 I was siphoned out of my peaceful retirement with a mother and daughter that drugged me into their legal cases. The state had taken a child. So out of that, I ended up operating a radio broadcast on the talk show called Family Rights Radio.
Right.
.net. I don't know if any of these names are familiar. Carl Weston or Eddie Andrews. I'm trying to remember some of the others.
Oh, yeah.
But I ended up going to D.C. several times with them. But what was really interesting in the process of us doing that broadcast, somebody had located a bootleg copy of a meeting in Las Vegas, of all places, of what's called the State Justice Institute. It was a gathering of judges and lawyers, including the Utah State Supreme Court Justice. So I'm just wondering if any of your listeners now, since I've been assaulted and left blind, I can't go out there and find the copy that I had. It's been an interesting experience for people to watch that conference. It was held, I think, somewhere between 2001 and 2005 in Las Vegas. And to hear these judges and lawyers talking about how they're going to take down the Patriots is a mind bender.
Say, so if you have repeating the last word, and I heard state justice, but you kind of beat it up on the last word, and I couldn't make it out.
Yeah, repeat it slowly and do it twice, could you, Tom?
The organization or the meeting was called the State Justice Institute.
Ah.
State Justice Institute. And the gathering or the conference that somebody had given us a bootleg copy video of that conference, about a 3-4 hour video. And then, like I say, there were several players, including our Utah Supreme Court Justice, that spoke there, and they were talking about all the methods they were going to use to take out the Patriots. So if somebody wants to if somebody can, you know, take that name down, State Justice Institute, and then do the search engine stuff and see if that copy is still out there somewhere in the ether. Probably been found and you know, disposed of, but it was really a mind bender. And like I said, it took place in Las Vegas.
Very interesting.
Yeah, and it exposes the literal plotting of the judiciary to take out the Patriots.
I think they call that seditious conspiracy to undermine the government of the Republic.
Yeah, yes. At least, and many more things, and these are punishable. These are capital offenses.
I don't know. You might check, since I can't see and go back and review my website. You might check beginning with a website. It should still be out there, but it's a rather clumsily produced website because I was novice at the thing at that time. But I may have it linked off of familyversusstate.com or .org. familyversusstate.org. See if I have a link in there. See if we can do a find on State Justice Institute. It would be really interesting if we could revive that one and make that public. You know, it just shows the collusion of these criminals. Of course, Carl Weston and Eddie Andrews have discussed all these issues. You're talking about the bonding and all of that. You still with me?
Good, so I'm not the only one.
Yes. Right and busily.
Yeah. And by the way, as a side note, since that terrible storm is hitting my friends in the Northeast, I think Georgia's up in that area, please review this poisoning issue that is going to impact them. I call it the Rahm Emanuel opportunity. What does he say? Let no crisis go wasted.
Right.
And what I'd exposed was the intentional modification of the population. That's a nice way to say it. So please look at gassingamerica.com, a.k.a. manufacturedmadness.com, a.k.a. poisoningthepoor.com. Anybody listening, please look at that. And if you have friends or family or associates up there in the Northeast with that Arctic, the Arctic Clipper, it's going to dump 2 to 3 feet of snow. They are prime for injury and death because of what I've exposed in that website. And if they know what the problem is, they can remedy it. Back to the State Justice Institute, I'm hoping, like I say, that if anybody knows Carl Weston or Eddie Andrews, I've lost contact with them. So if you can make contact with them, maybe you can find a copy of that and put that out on your website.
Tom, I'm not sure, but I think Carl Weston might be with Rod Class now.
Rod Class, yes.
Rod-class.com. Yes. And they got a D.C. gun case that's pretty strong going on. They actually got the state attorney general there in North Carolina to, just like Eric had said before, admit that the state police were not officers of the court because they're private foreign corporate mercenaries, because whoever's running the state operation is taking a position as administrator to give them an air of protection, a pretext. And therefore, they are administrating to give them insulation between the private foreign corporate mercenaries who are masked and disguise themselves as public servants.
Right.
The first thing I'd do if I was self-representing, if I was at a trooper on the stand, I would say, sir or ma'am, do you consider yourself a public officer? And make them answer that and then say, do you consider yourself an officer of the court? And what they're going to say, yes. There you're going to say, oh, really? Then please produce your timely filed oath and bond pursuant to the public officer's law. And almost all of them are not going to be able to do it. You don't really have to go much farther than that because you got them on their own statute.
They're also supposed to have a pocket commission. And besides that, if they're officers of the court, then they're not competent to witness because they have a fiduciary, financial, and other self-interest in the outcome of the case. Therefore, they're not a neutral, independent third party, and they have to be at least declared a hostile witness.
Absolutely. And the courts are going to resist that tooth and nail. They're going to try to make him be quiet. They're going to sustain objections from the state. It's tough, but that needs to be the first question. Actually, even before you said, are you a public officer, I'd say, are you an officer of the court? And then based on that answer, I would ask them, are you a public officer? And then are you in compliance with the public officer's law for the state? And once again, 15 states I know have it. And the rest of the states may have some derivation, something related to that or similar to it. Yes?
I've got it right here on my screen. I was working with this before you even started talking about it. NRS 199. That's oppression under color of law by a public officer. 199.145 are statements made in declaration under penalty of perjury.
Okay, you're talking about it. Now go to NRS 282.010.
282.010. Hang on. 080. My computer. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, I'm hoping if anybody can make contact with Carl or with Rod, they may have copies of that video. And see if they will make it available so you can put it up and expose this criminality to the public.
Absolutely. We're going to be posting a bunch of stuff. Yep. Okay, sounds good. Tom, thank you so much. I appreciate that. We're definitely going to look into that. And if you need to give any our information to somebody to get a hold of us, that's fine as well. And you can always get that from
By the way, you can contact Eric.
Yep.
My contact information is up on that website, gassingamerica.com.
Yep, sounds good. I think I got your number written. I got it written down here somewhere in my pile of, we'll see. So gassingamerica.com, yep, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
By the way, I went with Rod and everybody and Carl and Eddie Andrews to D.C., and my cousin, a senator or a representative, Chris Cannon, he was over judiciary, and we got him to remove the attorney general at that time. I'm trying to remember his name, Spanish name. But within a couple of months, my cousin was removed from Congress.
Hmm. Retaliation.
Yeah, I tried to tell him, don't stick your head above the berm in the trench. If you get that red dot on your forehead, they knew who you are. They will take you out. So I've cautioned every friend that I've had in D.C. to work on open doors, but not make themselves visible in the battle.
Oh, if they're in D.C., oh boy, yeah, the District of Criminals. Might as well just put a wall around that and put up some guards and just make them stay there forever and don't let anybody in or anybody out. Yikes.
Yeah, if you don't swim through that swamp with a snorkel, you're done.
I admire if they're activists and doing God, you know, God's work. God bless them, man. I admire their courage, and you know, that's a hellhole for people who are trying to do the right thing. It's a den of wolves, and it's the pedophile networks are there, and there's all kinds of freaky, creepy. They have the Masonic Grand Masonic Lodges there, where they all go and revere all the famous presidential Masons and FDR is a Mason, and everybody from Alexander the Great to Napoleon Bonaparte, John Harlan, Chief. Does anybody know who that is? It's the Chief Justice of the Supreme Witches Court that rammed through the unlawful 14th Amendment that we're always talking about here on this show. What Tom talked about, how that was illegally passed, and we can prove it, and it's unlawful on its face anyway. Even if it doesn't matter if there's proof or not, it's just the way it's written, subjugating everybody into citizenship. I didn't vote myself to be any citizen. That's why they're constantly getting you to say citizenship. What's your citizenship? Put your citizenship in here. Write it right there. You don't want to call yourself a citizen. You want to call yourself an American national, or a national of the state, whatever state you live in. And there's two different takes on that. Either way works fine, but American national works pretty well. I think it gets the point across, and doesn't matter what state you're in, because, you know, people move and whatnot. So, but you can say I'm American national of, you know, New York or whatever, and that's, you don't have to use the word citizenship to ascribe to yourself. It's something that the system really is desperate to put on people to lock us into that corporate status so they can keep ripping us off and say, well, you consented to it. You wrote in citizenship. Don't you know what that means? And most people know. They don't know what it means. So we try to educate people. There's two groups of people, the uneducated, who we're trying to work with and wake up in a nice way. And then there's the enemy, who knows exactly what they're doing. And those are the people you see in the public places that are pushing this tyranny. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, the citizenship word comes from city and denizen. And that's a serf, a slave, chattel, cattle, property of the city. It comes from the ancient Roman law, Jus Civilis, and from Justinian's code. And also, as you were saying something there, this stuff is called the Department of State Form 11, the DS-11. That's the immigration passport form that they use. There's only two statuses to choose from. One is the U.S. citizen. That's the first one, the most obvious. The other one is a U.S. national. That's what the classification is, which used to be the non-resident alien state national citizen that you're speaking of. Or state national non-citizen is more accurate, because you don't want to be a citizen, a non-citizen what you are. And so these are very, very complex. In fact, there's a special qualifier from the Immigration and Naturalization Department and Department of State. That's Title 8 USC. It has the Immigration Act. They call an I-9 that they stamp your passport with, which is equivalent to a diplomatic immunity.
Right. Anything else, Tom?
I'll climb off the phone and let other callers come in, but please make sure you look at that gassingamerica.com for those families in the Northeast, but also recheck the family versus state, see if I still have a link to that State Justice Institute video.
Awesome. Excellent, Tom. Thank you so much for that. Make sure you leave your information with Mike on the board. I think you already have, so that's...
It's on the website. It's on the website.
On the website as well. Okay. Very good, Tom. Good hearing from you. Thank you so much for calling.
Since I'm blind, emails don't work.
Right. Got it. Yep. You need the phone calls. Yep. So it's better if we call you. Okay.
And I was blinded in the cesspool.
Okay. Well, you're doing God's work.
They're not nice.
We appreciate you. Thanks for contributing all that valuable information and keeping those websites up and running as well. Gassingamerica.com, is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Family versus State was the first case that drug me out of my peaceful retirement.
Oh, boy.
And from that point on, my life has turned to hell in the courtroom.
Well, that's what it is. Unfortunately, it's the most uncomfortable place to be, and it's the first place we have to go to if we want to get rid of the wickedness and the oppression that's rampant through our society. I mean, how can you even describe it? There's so much out of control. I think oppression is the best word that's occurring through the courts and the police departments. It's just completely out of control. You know, it could go on and on and on. We've done it. We do it all the time on this show. You know, from the Admiralty statute law enforcement, code enforcement, you know, traffic enforcement, hunting this, all the taxes and regulations that are put on us. It's just mind-boggling. So, Tom, thanks a lot, my friend. Who's our next caller, Mike?
Okay. By the way, I will not apologize for the lives I've saved.
Oh, you shouldn't apologize for anything you're doing. You're doing great work. We appreciate it.
Especially the babies and the innocent men.
Right, exactly. I mean, we got to start out with the most vulnerable. If we don't help them, I mean, what are we worth?
All right, thank you for your work.
Anytime, Tom. Thank you for your call, and thank you for your work. Excellent. Gassingamerica.com. Who's up next?
Tonight.
Tom, Mike, do we have another caller? Steve in Kansas. Hello, Steve.
Hey, how you doing, Eric? I first want to say I really appreciate you and Lori from Texas and Mr. Lamb of his reports, because this is the only reports we're getting as to what's going on with the trial, and I appreciate them giving of their lives doing this. As I said, Friday, I'd try to call back Monday, and we are having a postcard shower on, I believe it's Wednesday, March 15th, the Ides of March, to President Trump, and I went down to the local truck stop and bought 4 postcards. They're 49 cents a piece, plus 49 cents stamp on them, less than a dollar. And I'm going to put on there what I'm doing is, yeah, I support you, President Trump, and then put on there, you know, repeal Obamacare, or another one I'll put on, go ahead, you know, convict the Clintons, whatever like this. We need justice, but I just wanted to remind people that this is an opportunity to stand up and let everyone know, including yourselves, as to which side you're on, because with this, this is the information age, and people are going to look back on this. This is why I'm doing this, and to find out whose side people were really on. And I'd love to give the address again, if I may.
Sure, go ahead, Steve.
Okay, it's President Donald J. Trump, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Northwest, you can put, again, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, NW, Washington, D.C., 20500. And the one thing about calling in, the things I've done, I when people look back on this, I want everybody to know which side I was on, because there's going to be... retribution after this, just like after World War II. This doesn't end here. For those people just standing by or bystanding, you really need to make the decision and decide what's important. At least my children will know, my wife will know of 30 years of which side I was on. And I greatly appreciate you taking my call, Eric.
Anytime, Steve. Excellent. Yes, do a postcard blitz on the White House. I like that. And keep it
well. Here's the thing with this man. He loves the showmanship. I'm so glad. Before I died, I got to see a real man run for the president of the United States. A real man win the president of the United States. He's our employee. We're all owners. You're owners of this country. These are hired help. So what happens with this country depends on the citizens out there. That's what everyone needs to understand. And what people could say, well, what's the big deal about sending a postcard? Well, you might be surprised, but this guy would. I'd love to see what 3 million, 4 million, 5 million postcards really look like, and he's just the guy to pile them up in a room and call the press in there and say, look at this. He needs to call on the American people, and the American people need to be ready for the call.
Yeah, I agree. People think, well, one postcard is not going to make a difference. Sure it does. It's because when they all pile up, like the phone calls on behalf of Tom, like funding, if everybody throws in a little bit, many hands make light work, and you can really get something done and keep freedom going instead of just letting, I mean, I fully support postcards to the White House. That's a great idea. Putting something in writing is always more powerful than a phone call, but both is best. You could put anything on there. You could put bring home the troops. You could put government. It should be run like a service and not like a business. You could put end the drug war. How about society cannot be a victim?
Well, here's the other thing, as you all have spoke so much about, and you know I know a lot about this, as for the Bundys, the Hagues, the Hammonds, free them. And I understand, you know, this session may be looking at some of these people like this Cox and Kettler, stuff like this. Yeah, free these political prisoners, these prisoners of war, because that's what they are. And the numbers do matter.
Especially it definitely adds up, and they hear your voice, people. Then the only thing that the incorporated government and the witches' court respect is massive public pressure. That's the only thing that gets through to their thick heads. You know, everything else just blows right off. They can get away with it here and there. I feel very successful.
I'll get off, Eric. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Everybody, get their mail in by the 15th. Thank you.
Anytime, Steve. Thank you so much. Stay with us. We got a break. It's Eric the Freedom Streamer with Chris from Las Vegas. We'll see you after this break for a couple minutes on the RBN Network.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
End time is not what you thought. In their new book, 12-24-36, authors Mike and Cheryl Gilmore bring forth a startling new idea on the beginning of humankind, how life begins on Earth, and when our Creator concludes this age. In the book, 12-24-36, three small groups of individuals, separated by thousands of miles, discover together the answers to the beginning of our universe and all the life it contains. Mike Gilmore is the author of 5 Levels of Power novels and the Sled Investigation series. Cheryl Gilmore is current state director in South Carolina for MUFON and brings a lifetime of experience with UFOs and related fields. As a team, their new book about life in the near future on Earth sets aside most people's religious and scientific beliefs. Available exclusively on Amazon in softback for $8.99 or the ebook price for only $2.99. Remember, Amazon softback $8.99, ebook only $2.99. 12-24-36. Get your copy today.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Resurrected Republic. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer. I'm with Chris in Las Vegas. I'd like to join the show tonight. The number is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. I wanted to read a little excerpt out of this book for the new listeners who may not have heard this yet. This is from the Plutonium Files. This is the mentality that is permeating through the government aristocracy, particularly, I've noticed, especially after reading this book, the medical industrial complex seems to be the man behind the curtain, so to speak, even to the furtherance of all the other complexes, the media industrial complex, to sell us on the whole idea, the military industrial complex, for the conquest overseas of resources and dissidents, and the police and prison industrial complex, which is massive. Private prison industry is flourishing, and the pension funds of the police and judges are all invested in American Prison Corporation, Wackenhut, and all the other corporations that supply prison gear and build private prisons, and that's why there's such an incentive to literally feed on their own people. Listen to this. These are comments by Leonard Sagan. He was a doctor who worked for the Atomic Energy Commission, the Atomic Casualty Commission after World War II. And he was talking to his committee staffers, and he said doctors who were doing research wanted to be professors
And in order to be a professor, you have to have lots of publications. So your highest priority is to conduct research and publish it. You're the doctor. Now, here's a patient that you want to experiment on. Is it going to contribute to your research if you inform the patient? What can happen if the patient says, no, I don't want to do that? That's not in your interest. Your interest is to have that patient participate. So do you tell him or her? No. Does anybody care? No. So you don't tell them. So that's why the ethical rules were ignored, because there's a conflict between informed consent and the ability to conduct research. And the physician is interested not in the patient's welfare. He's interested in his or her welfare. So he doesn't inform them. That means he does not inform them. Did you hear that? That's the attitude of the top doctors from government all throughout the universities and the hospitals and the entire medical establishment. Don't tell them, experiment on people. This is the big secret. And here's another excerpt. In a Massachusetts school, 73 disabled children were spoon-fed radioactive isotopes along with their morning oatmeal. In an upstate New York hospital, an 18-year-old woman, believing she was being treated for a pituitary disorder, was injected with plutonium by Manhattan Project doctors. At a Tennessee prenatal clinic, 829 pregnant women were served vitamin cocktails that were actually radioactive iron as part of their prenatal treatment. So do you get how deep and disgusting this goes? I mean, this is factual historical stuff. None of this has been disputed. This is really, it's almost scary that what's going on in the medical industrial complex, especially the globalists have and the medical profession has a fascination with radiation, because it's a silent killer, and it's very lethal. It's can be lethal in very microscopic doses. So any comments on that, Chris?
Well, the AMA, that's a whole other story. The American Mafia for the Medical, the Mi Dai Ka El, the gods of death, of the wear the white lab coats and masquerade as if they're really doing something to help you when they're really just preying upon you as a target individual to drain your pocketbook for their own self-unjust enrichment and indulgence. Al Whitney on the Saturday Night Show, she does what's her show called? In Defense of Humanity. She's all over the AMA. In fact, she'll tell you that I think it's the EPA that was really just put into place to protect the chemical companies. It used to be the chemical something or other department. And this goes back to Flexner. I think his name was Adam Flexner, who with Rockefeller set up the AMA to put the naturopaths, homeopaths, chiropractors, and others that actually cured disease out of business so they could perpetually treat them and live off the permanent flow of income to their pockets for continuous treatment.
Ain't that the truth? And I know very well that this is going on because the upstate New York hospital that was mentioned in this book is Strong Memorial Hospital, which is right in the neighborhood I grew up in. And I know people personally who still get letters to this day that say, shamelessly, it says, we were a part of an experiment done in the 1950s. Can you please come back in so we can do follow-up examination for our research purposes?
You know, that's kind of interesting, Eric. That 1950 date comes before the National Defense Authorization Act of 1961, the Strom-Thurmond National Defense Authorization Act, and United States Code 2358, which gives the government the ability to experiment on the people here in America, but not other places, supposedly, if it's for the national security or the public safety.
Yeah, and we know that they were doing it long before then. They just tried to legalize it at that time because they realized they were getting caught. People were catching on. What, my God, what's going on here? So they just legalized it. Chris is right. It's in the federal statute. For research purposes, the government can experiment on the American people. We're not saying this is right, folks. It's very wrong. I'm saying this is the enemy's justification is that, oh, they'll just pass a statute that legalizes it. Oh, the heck with it. Based on that, you can get away with anything.
Those legal lies that you're talking about, everything is legal, nothing is illegal unless somebody makes the claim, and unless you rebut the presumption and demand to have proof of the claim, it stands as proof unrebutted. Therefore, you can be guilty when you've never done anything because somebody brought a malicious claim without any foundation or substance, but because you didn't rebut the proposition or the presumption, then you stand tacitly presumed guilty if you didn't answer or refute. And so this is the unfortunate circumstance. There's nothing that's illegal, nothing that's legal. Everything is legal, nothing is illegal in legal la-la land. But in law, it's either in law or outlaw, and therefore there is no shades of gray in between. You know if you've broken the law because the law is clear, concise, and set forth, defined where everyone can understand what it is. In legal la-la land, nobody knows anything. Everybody knows nothing. It's very convenient for those that want to prey upon people using their legal system, which is the removal of God from the law.
That's an excellent analysis, Chris. I wanted you, when you were talking about at the beginning of your statement, I want you to kind of break down some of those concepts a little slower. The first point you made, Chris, during your last comment. I wanted you to break that down just a little slower. Can you do that for people?
Well, I probably need a hint. I would get pretty spontaneous when I articulate this step. I don't have a time.
You were talking about the jurisdiction and the
I was talking about the legal versus the lawful. The unfortunate circumstances in legal la-la land, as I prefer to call it, because it's a very, very gray area with multiple shades of gray. There is no clear, bright line between black being outlaw and white being in-law. It's murky and quirky in between all sorts of possibilities. And in legal la-la land, everything is legal, nothing is illegal, unless someone brings the claim, makes the accusation. And if you don't rebut the accusation, demand to have proof of their unsupported hearsay claim, then it stands as truth unrebutted, and therefore you can be presumed tacitly to be guilty because you did not rebut the presumption, and therefore it stands as truth unrebutted and becomes fact, law, and evidence on the record of the court because it was not rebutted and challenged.
That's what I wanted to break down. Did you get that, people? If the government or an entity makes a claim against you, and you don't rebut it, and you just ignore it, which, you know, we're always taught, you know, try to turn the other cheek, and if somebody's attacking you with something absurd, well, just, you know, let it go, it'll disappear, it's not true, so what the heck? If you don't rebut it, it becomes a matter of fact and truth, just on the fact that you didn't respond to it. So do you see the scam that the government and the witches court and the attorneys and the bar attorneys are doing? They're playing us saying, well, we're going to claim you're this, we're going to claim you're that. Well, if you don't come in and rebut it, we'd be in there rebutting everything all year if we had to do that. The stuff, the unlawful crap they're putting on us, they're making all kinds of absurd claims where people are property, corporations are people. Everything's upside down.
Here's an example.
Go ahead.
I've got an example for you, Eric. I went to CPS the other day, and I had asked about notice and opportunity, but they didn't send any service advised me that there was a hearing the next day after I was there. They claimed that I was served. Some mysterious figure back in the back office, the boss, the girl at the desk, claimed that I had been provided notice. I am going to rebut that presumption. One, she's an attorney. She's not competent to give any opinions because she's witnessing the facts that are not supported by any foundation. And it's a hypothesized version of my being served because being served would provide some cognitive, direct, overt action to draw my attention to the fact that there was an act court the very next day when they had me there in the late part of the afternoon when they gave me a stack of papers that was going to take me a couple of days to read. And it was the next to the last page I found out after the fact. And I told them they hadn't provided me any due process of law, notice, and opportunity to respond, and had not provided any notice that was there. She claimed it is, so I'm in the process of rebutting that presumption.
Right. Got to rebut it. Unfortunately, this is the scam and the slavery they put us in. They're gonna make every claim they can against us. We don't go in there rebutting everything. I mean, how can you stay on top of that? It's a very, it's very difficult.
Let's see what our callers get to say.
Because a lot of these claims that they're making are absurd, and a lot of them we don't know. They're not notified that they're making these claims, i.e. the trust that everybody's placed in at their birth. So anyway, we got a caller on the line. Let's get to our caller. Who is it? Reb, we got a couple callers on the line. Can you make it brief?
Hello?
Who do we got? It's okay.
Hello?
Go ahead, Colin. Yep, we got
you. This is Mark. This is Mark in Philadelphia.
Mark in Philly, how are you?
I'm doing all right. I've been listening to you guys for some time. I was listening to Thomas when he was there, but I wasn't always able to listen, and I really feel bad about Tom's situation, the whole thing. It's, but I've known about these kinds of things remotely before, at least before the internet. These things were happening way back when, and now we're able to know that they're happening because we're connecting the dots because of the internet. Better communication, and now the gig is up, but it's still, they're still doing it. So anyway, I want to ask you guys about, you know, this deal about asset seizure and forfeiture. I don't know if you guys saw that recently the Supreme Court turned down hearing a case out of Texas, and that's on the I think that's on Republic website, where they seized $201,000 from a man, and he was transporting money in a safe from the sale of a house from his mother in Pennsylvania. And so anyway, long and short, Texas got to keep the money because they said, well, it must be drug related, because you know, you were traveling on a highway that's known to be a drug trafficking route. So you know, that's highway robbery, that's highway thievery. These are like, you know, Sheriff of Nottingham's tactics.
Negative answer for future. Yeah.
So, but I saw that some states are trying to make efforts toward standing up against this, Kentucky being one of them. I don't know if you guys are aware of this. I think on January 9th or thereabouts, they put forth a bill in their state legislature that would stand up against the federal government doing this. Because my understanding is a lot of times, if it's not necessarily just the state, it's when the state authorities partner with the federal authorities, which then allows the feds to take over jurisdiction and then thwart sidestep any state laws, which would keep the local authorities in check, and they'd have to strictly abide by their state law. But because they partner with the feds, then they can play the feds game and steal whatever they want and keep it without anybody even being convicted of any crime. So,
Mark, if you don't mind my suggesting, what we find is whenever you give the license to plunder in the guise of protectionism or law enforcement, you authorize plunder. That's basically the same thing of writs of assistance or bills of attainder that the king used to issue here in the United States prior to the Magna Carta and to the revolution. And this is what they do. They write their own writs. And they create all these false paradigms, false narratives, these lies, and that's what I like to call it, legal lies, because they lie to make it legal. And then they give themselves the authority, the discretion, to presume to assume that the money has committed a crime because it's in your possession and you're traveling on a route where coincidentally there might be some people who transport drugs in that road, but you might have a legitimate purpose of being in that position, traveling that same byway and enjoy the right to travel. That's Title 18 United States Code 245, Part 2, Parenthetical E. It tells you you have a right to travel. Anybody that impedes that right is committing a felony crime. So these asset forfeiture schemes, the police have become the biggest gang in America, and they're looting, robbing, and plundering and raping at will. And there's nothing that people can do about it because they got the air of authority and the pretext of legality when they're really lawless groups.
So the question is, Are there any good sheriffs in town, in any town, in any county across this country that are standing up and doing the right thing for their people, or have they all been compromised? I thought Sheriff Richard Mack was working on the Constitutional Sheriff's Group and trying to help sheriffs get on board with that, but I don't know. I haven't seen or heard much of it, any of that going anywhere lately. So is anything, what's up? Are we all vulnerable everywhere?
We have a patchwork around America. There are pockets. There are a lot of good people in law enforcement in all different agencies and all different communities. But there are pockets of criminality that are invading America like a cancer, and this cancer of corruption because of all the graft and theft, the money that's at odds for being able to steal it from people and convert it. When they came and searched my house, they took $200 out of my pocket. Is that on their search report? No. There are a number of personal defense items that they stole from my house when it was an incompetent warrant by a guy that was under indictment, so he wasn't competent to make out no warrant in the first place. But these people don't care. They don't have any moral scruples or ethics, and they will do anything to accomplish stealing the stuff that they want for their own private self-interest under the guise of protecting our law enforcement or protecting the public safety or whatever ruse to confuse they want to float out there to trick you and fool you and to steal your stuff and kick your butt.
Yeah.
Well, it's a problem with having a government like a business.
Eric, I wanted to ask you, and I know we're getting ready to come up on break, it looks like, but I would like to, if you could hold me through, because I have a couple of questions for you, but maybe I can get one of them out. And that is that, were you involved at one point with the NLA out of New York?
John Durash.
I was at one point, yes, and I was excommunicated for talking about the Vickers and the Masons. Oh, and using the word Nazi in my posting. That was a no-no, I guess.
Because a couple of years ago I got involved, I disconnected from them because when I started asking some key questions, they would just beat around the bush, John Durash and whatever. And I started thinking,
John Durash.
And then he would diss an older gentleman who's my mentor, friend, when he had direct questions to the group, to them and as leaders. And I didn't know, what you thought of them. And also this Anna Von Reitz, I mean, is she legitimate or what's your perspective of what she's trying to do? Is she, I mean,
The NLA has been taken over, in my opinion. Okay. This is the NLA has been taken up more or less been taken over by the enemy. And I'll name them in another show. I'm not going to do it now because it'll just be too much of a bum rush for information at the end. But I was with the NLA. I started the Quorum Observers. We got pretty big. We made a big, powerful push in the courts because we were doing a really killer phone blitz, and the sheriff of Utah County said he was getting hundreds of phone calls, and they had the federal building on lockdown, and the witches court was on lockdown, and the county jail was on lockdown, and they weren't letting any of the locals in either. They were so freaked out by so many phone calls. So it was working out really well, and I think we just got... And then all of a sudden these four infiltrators came in, and all of a sudden they voted me out because I was using the word Nazi once in a while in my postings. I'd call the cops Nazis once in a while. I don't do it gratuitously. It's like when I swear. It's very occasional. It's limited. I don't do it just, I'm not just throwing F-bombs around or using the word Nazis and witches all the time. But occasionally it was appropriate to call them Nazis. This is like Nazi Germany or something like that. They didn't like that. They didn't like me talking about the Vickers or the Masons. They said, well, we got a few Masons in the NLA. And I'm like, oh, okay. Said, well, we don't want to freak them out too much. I said, they're freaking us out. I mean, tell them it's one or the other. You can't have your Masonic cult and have freedom in a free republic. The cult always takes over, and they pass a lot of crap that we have to live under. And look where we are right now, and I read you the list of Freemasons every night. That's my thing on the NLA. My thing on Anna Von Reitz is, I don't know. I've never met her. Most of the stuff sounds really good, but I think it's incomplete. There's some stuff we weren't really talking about, and a few things bothered me, but I don't want to pass any judgments on that. But I know the NLA has been corrupted and co-opted, so it's still a great learning for them, but I wouldn't want them taking over the country with common law grand juries under those.
I've got something on that for you. John Durash was John Dvorak, a barred licensed attorney, I think out of New Jersey or New York. And therefore, it was an Operation Pat Klein trap, just kind of like the Restore America Plan, TRAP, with Tim Turner. And so really it was an intel to get the names of people that wanted to follow the Liberty model And John Durash, being a bar licensed Esquire attorney, was the one that was heading that operation up, and therefore he was using it as predatory to get intel on the Patriot movement. The same thing Tom was talking about for me.
No kidding.
That was okay. And I think the four guys that came in after him and Gerard set it up were the ones that really, I mean, they turned it right over to him. It was all of a sudden Gary Jolly, Robert Bristow, Jan Howell, and those are the four
Gary, over. I wanted to forget his name, but Gary Jolly and I had a tiss, and he's like cussing at me on the phone, and I'm respectful and cordial, and just asking some key questions, and he didn't want me asking those questions.
Of course not. They had 500 people showing up to meetings in Michigan, including a couple of good friendly sheriffs, apparently, and I mean it was catching on, the common law grand jury idea, retaking back your counties and all that, and Gary Jolly all of a sudden started talking about violence and militias, and he's constantly pimping this, you know, get your militias ready, but he'll vote out somebody if he doesn't like what they're saying. He's obviously working for the enemy. So that's just, there's my take on it, you know.
I appreciate that. You still got your website?
I got a website.
Is there a way for me to reach you, like through email?
Let's do this. I'll give out my email over the air. I got another one for backup in case they jam this one down, but you can try Eric Hughes, ERICHUGHES .NY @Yahoo. Try that. Eric Hughes .NY. So there it is. You can communicate me through there. And, if you want to leave your number with Mike on the board after we hang up, that's fine. No problem. I can try to give you a call.
Sure. I'll do that.
The website is called courtroomwatch.org, and we're right on the money. So we've had trouble with stuff, new posts getting interfered with, and very crucial posts getting taken down, crucial links that we had to stuff posted on another site of ours, 404 error. So the interference is massive. But you can try courtroomwatch.org. That's courtroomwatch.org. And I'm trying to keep it updated, but they're taking stuff down and blocking stuff, like the jury nullification flyer got blocked. So maybe now here at the end of the night, in honor of the enemy, I'm going to read the jury nullification flyer, and this will take us out to our closing. Hey, thanks a lot, my friend. It's good hearing from you tonight.
Thank you. I'll leave my number.
Please do. Yep, just stay on the line and don't hang up, and Mike on the board will grab it from you. Thanks.
Okay,
all right.
Thank you.
It's your right and your duty for hundreds of years. Oh, my gosh, the show's over. Wow. I guess that's it, folks. I guess sure does. So we'll catch you all tomorrow. We'll do the jury nullification then. Remember to spread the word. Post a link to this show, for this show up on the Facebook and Twitter it out and whatever you can creatively do on social networking to get as many people listening in his wake as possible. Once again, this is Eric the Freedom Screamer. Thanks to John Lamb, Texas Lori, Chris in Vegas, and all the callers. We'll see you tomorrow night on the Republic Broadcasting Network, not the Democracy Broadcasting Network, the Republic Broadcasting Network. Have a good night.
PatriotPrepared.com carries the leading brands of storable food from Numana, Legacy, and Heaven's Harvest. Patriot Prepared. Our name says it all. We're dedicated to empowering you to be self-reliant and confident in any circumstance. Whether you want to be prepared in the event of an emergency or you're an outdoor sports enthusiast, PatriotPrepared.com has prepackaged meals and kits for your entire family. Legacy, Heaven's Harvest, and Numana are known for high-quality, great-tasting GMO food. gluten-free, nutritious food with no chemical preservatives. Simple to prepare, easy to store, gluten-free and organic high-quality nutrition options with a 25-year shelf life. You can't beat the feeling of being food secure when you need it most. So go to PatriotPrepared.com right now to pick up your supply of high-quality storable food for your family, because it makes good sense to be prepared. That's PatriotPrepared.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.